Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
We had a lot of volunteers out there, and then, of course, we just thousands of people out there, so it's definitely a great time together just celebrating. One of the core values here at the Bridge Church is to engage the community and to go outside these four walls and serve and love and all those different things, and so that gave us a great opportunity to do just that. And Jacob said, we're in Christmas season now, right? Isn't that true? It's pretty incredible. It's one of my most favorite times of the year. We got lights up on the house. Christmas tree is out. And I'm trying to wait till after Thanksgiving most times, you know, just to put it out there just because I'm too excited about Christmas time. But today, we launch a brand new series today called The King Has Come. The King Has Come. And we are sharing the Christmas story. And really to help us grasp this and understand about sharing the Christmas story is we're going to be looking at different points of view in Scripture and how they interact with this Christmas story. And then what are some principles that we can pull out from each of those characters in the story, each of those people that lived and were right there in the moment. And we have the honor and the privilege to open up God's Word and actually see that and hear that, the story of Christmas. But before we do that, I just want to pray for us and ask God to speak to our hearts. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for just allowing us this opportunity to open up your Word, God. I pray that you may speak to our hearts. God, I pray that if anybody walked in just carrying the burdens of this world, I pray that at this moment we can just lay those at your feet. I pray that we can receive your word. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that you will give us clarity and revelation for whatever next step you may be calling us to, God. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but maybe there is a person in your life that when they came into your life changed. Your life changed forever. It could be maybe if you're still a student or a child, maybe it was a sibling, right? Like all of a sudden you're doing life, doing family one way, and then all of a sudden a sibling comes. My sister just pointed at me. A sibling comes in and changes everything, you know? And then it could be a spouse, you know? All of a sudden your spouse comes into the picture and it changes everything. It could be a best friend where you were in middle school, right? We all remember those days in middle school. And you just needed that friend, and that friend showed up. And it's like everything from that moment on, you're like, I can remember before that, and I can remember after that. And for me, I met my wife in high school, and in 10th grade, we were blessed to start dating, and I still don't know why, but, you know, God brought us together that early, and she has stuck with me ever since and all of my craziness, right? But I remember before her, I was really big into sports, but football, all those different things. And then all of a sudden, she's in my life, and now I'm a soccer fan. You know, like, I never liked soccer before in my life, but guess what? When she was playing soccer, I'm on the sidelines like, woo, I love soccer, let's go, right? Like, they're taking over, all those things. Like, all of a sudden, it changed. Something changed in me. All of a sudden, I like talking on the phone for 3+ hours, you know? Like, no, you hang up. No, you, right? You know, that whole dynamic. It's like, when she came on the scene, it changed, right? Like, my life changed, and still to this day, I don't know if there's a person in my life who has impacted my life for the better, you know, for that much or that long, that season outside. You know, of course, parents, they're there from right there from birth. Siblings are right there from birth. But it's just incredible to see that. And the Christmas story sets up that same dynamic, but not just for your life, not just for my life, but for the human race for all of eternity. Like everything right here during this Christmas time, when Jesus came onto the scene, everything changed. It was like this hinge point moment. If you think about just human beings in general, our entire calendar, the way we navigate every single day of our life changed right there in that season when this one person came to this earth and started walking, right? Jesus came. You have before Christ, right? And after Christ, how the calendar even changed, the impact that Jesus made. And even if you don't follow Jesus or you talk to somebody who doesn't attend church, they cannot deny the impact that Jesus had on the entire world. I mean, everything changed in that. And then, of course, as followers of Jesus, we place our faith in him. We know that not only that moment changed, but our eternity's changed forever. And this whole series, that's what we're unpacking. That's what we're diving into. We get to kind of peek behind the curtain and see the story of Jesus. And why is this story so impactful? Why does it change everything? And what does that mean for us? The King has come. Not only the King of eternity, not only the King of heaven, but as we sang today, the King of our own hearts came, right? And we get to kind of dissect that a little bit and to understand what that may look like. And today, we're going to look in Luke chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, we're going to read 13 through 17. But to set this up, what was happened here, we see the Old Testament was here. We had this way of dealing with God, the way that God's people were dealing with him. And then when the Old Testament ended, there were 400 years of silence. 400 years from the last book of the Old Testament, and all of this silence, and then all of a sudden, this angel appear, right? This 400 years of silence. I mean, just, can you imagine being God's people, and you're looking back in the records, and you're like, not that generation, not that generation, not that generation, not, right? Just 400 years, and all of a sudden, an angel appears, and they say, hey, it's time. And the angel appears first to this couple, and this couple is Zechariah and Elizabeth. And when the angel appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah was a priest from the family line that God set aside to be his people, to be his spokesperson, to who would go into the Holy of Holies to be there in the presence of God. And so Zechariah is there and with his wife Elizabeth, and they don't have any kids. In fact, they've been praying for kids. I'm sure they've had the question of going, God, we're here. Here we are, your priest serving you, doing all of this. The Bible even describes them as righteous people. It describes them as they followed the law to a T. I mean, the Bible says that about them. How incredible is that, the lifestyle that they're living? And they've been praying for a child. They've been praying for a legacy, all these different things. And then an angel all of a sudden appears as Zechariah is going in, and as he was doing his priestly duty, he went in and they had this ceremony where they would light the incense, and it would cause God's people to come together. They begin to pray, and the incense would represent God's presence as they're praying together. And so in that moment, as they're walking into the temple, an angel appears and has a message for Zechariah. So we're going to start here, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Everybody good? All right, verse 13, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Elijah is an Old Testament prophet who spoke boldly. If you go and read some of his stories, I mean, he prayed and fire literally, right? Like not just this metaphorical, like literally came down from heaven. It's pretty incredible. And then it says, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and Zechariah, all of a sudden an angel appears, and I just can't even begin to fathom what that's like, but every time we read it in Scripture, when an angel appears, they usually hit the ground in terror and in fear, and usually the first message that they have to say is, don't be afraid, right? Like, don't be frightened. I know this is pretty insane, but don't be afraid, don't be frightened. I have a message for you. In fact, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. How encouraging is that to know that as we're praying, the Father hears our prayers? And sometimes we just need to be reminded that as we're, our cries are going up to God, there may be a season where it's like, God, can you even hear me? Like, well, what is happening here? But yet we know the angel came as the messenger, as he was designed and created to do, came down and began to deliver this message that, hey, God has heard your cries. God has heard your prayers. And then he continues on and he says, you will give birth to a son, And this is not going to be, a kid. In fact, we're going to separate him from birth. He has a special calling on his life. He will be the one who prepares the way for the king. He will be the one. I want you from birth. Don't allow alcohol to hit his lips and all these different things. Separate him for his duty, for my calling on his life. And we see this begin to happen and to play out in his life. And this person here is, the great thing is Elizabeth and Mary, that most scholars believe that they were connected in community. Either they were very strongly in the same community, or they were actually related. Some people believe that John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. And so we see this family line of John the Baptist come, and we see how God uses him in incredible ways. John the Baptist's nickname is John the Baptist, right? What I just said, because as he grew older, he had this calling on his life to prepare the way for the Lord. And John the Baptist wasn't this ordinary cat, okay? Like, he took this calling and he embodied it, right? Like, I'm going to be this bold Elijah figure. In fact, the Bible describes him, he would go and live in the woods, right? Like, that's where he would preach. Like, hey, let's a church planting strategy right there, right? Let's go into the woods right here. He wore camel skin and he ate wild locusts and honey. Who's ready for lunch, right? Like, the wild locusts and honey, that was what he ate. Can you imagine showing up to church and I'm up here snacking on some wild locusts, right, and honey? And he is described as this wild man, but yet he lives this lifestyle because he is fully connected to God, and he didn't want to live in distraction. And all of a sudden, he's in the woods, and he starts declaring this message. This is a brand new message. You got to think, thousands and thousands of years of the Old Testament of how God connected with his people through the prophets and through the priest family line. And all of a sudden, this crazy looking wild man in camel skin, biting off locusts, right, comes walking out. And he's like, hey, another one is coming. Jesus, he is the Messiah. And when he comes, everything is going to change. He's like the one who's coming out and so bold to say. And in fact, he would call people to baptism. That's how he got his name, because his message was, we need to repent and then declare that Jesus is the Messiah. We need to repent and declare that we are now in relationship with God. And he would baptize people in the river. And in fact, he had the honor and the privilege to baptize Jesus himself. As Jesus got older and became 30 and began to walk into his ministry, Jesus walked down into the water and he was baptized himself. And I believe that's a declaration for you and I. Because if you're taking notes here, we're going to grab this. Baptism is a bold step of faith declaring that Jesus is the King of our life. That you and I, when we take that step of faith, and many of you have been baptized, and we believe in believer's baptism, to where once you place your faith in Christ, then you take that step, that bold declaration of saying, hey, this is my connection with God. I have a relationship with him now. And that is a bold declaration, that every time John the Baptist went into the water and baptized people down in the river and they came back up, I love that representation, buried with Christ, raised to walk with him in a new life. And every time we see that, not only do we celebrate that as a church, but for you and I, that's an incredible step of faith. And I would encourage anybody that can hear the sound of my voice, if you've never made that decision to be baptized, or maybe you've given your life to Christ, but you still haven't taken that step, it does something in us, because the Bible shows us that's one of our first steps of obedience. And if we miss that step, there's always going to be something kind of pulling us back to that first step, because it's a bold faith declaration. And God uses that bold faith declaration to not only tell the world, but he does something inside of our hearts that begins to shape us and begins to change us. And as we walk in obedience to him. And that's what John the Baptist was preaching. He was preparing the way for the king. And he gives this beautiful picture that God has for you and I as we step in bold faith. And another description of John the Baptist is in here in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And I love this description in John chapter 1. We're going to actually refer to John chapter 1 throughout this entire series, those first few chapters, as they're describing who God is and who Jesus is. This is John the Baptist's description here in John chapter 1, verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. What a description. He says that John the Baptist came to be a witness. He's the air traffic controller, right? He's like, hey, look, you can look at me for a second, but the one is coming. His name is Jesus. And he says that, I love the description. He was not the light, but he's bearing witness to the light. And I keep going back to John the Baptist because Jesus's ministry hasn't started yet. You imagine the faith that John had to operate on, right? Like, Jesus hasn't come. He hasn't done his ministry. He hasn't healed the sick. He hasn't cast out demons. He hasn't done all of those things, those incredible miracles that point to him being God. He hasn't done that yet. But yet John has based his entire life off of prophecy that his parents had to pass down to him, right? Like, his parents had to say, look, when you were born, an angel appeared, right? And now you are called out. You are separated. Your cousin over there, Jesus, you see him? Like, he is the Messiah. He is the one to come. And he had to operate in bold faith. And he gave his life to this calling. And remember, the Old Testament, I mean, he is changing the Bible. I mean, he's changing how his dad operated, how their dad operated. I mean, he is making a new way because God is setting up a new covenant through Jesus, a new testament through Jesus. And John the Baptist is operating in bold faith every single day. He's declaring this. And I believe that you and I can learn something from this, that boldness is the ability to move past our comfort zone and step into faith. That boldness for you and I for the gospel, the boldness for Jesus, is an opportunity for us to step past. You know, you can feel that, right? When God's kind of calling you to take a faith step, it's like you hit this spiritual wall for a second, and you kind of wrestle with yourself, right? Henry Blackaby describes this as a crisis of belief, right? Like, where we get to that moment, it's like, oh, okay, God, are you sure? Are you sure you called us to move here? Are you sure you called me to move this job? Are you sure, you know, all these things, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do, right? And we had an opportunity, Jacob is involved with the college at FCA, and we got a chance to share some advice, and one of the ones that was big on my heart is that the devil will always give you an excuse, right? Like, it just feels like every time it's like, okay, time to go to church, guess what? You're going to have a little excuse there why you can't make it, or I need to plug into small group. The devil's going to be like, hey, you remember that? No, look, those people are going to think you're weird. Those people are going to think you're crazy. You can't go in there. You don't know enough about blah, blah. You haven't memorized Philippians, the whole book. Like, you can't go to small group, right? Right? The devil's going to provide us with an excuse. Or maybe the God's just placing on your heart of going, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to say, I'm sorry. And the devil's going to slip in there, right? Because he'll always provide an excuse and go, ooh, you don't need to do that. They need to pursue you. Like, no, right? Like, all of a sudden, they will always provide an off-ramp of what God is calling us to, an off-ramp to a bold faith step that God may be calling us to. And we see this picture. We see this boldness. I see how John the Baptist lived his life operating on so much incredible faith. And what a beautiful picture for you and I to rest in that fact of what God has called us to. And also, another principle I believe that you and I can get this is that John the Baptist was called to be a witness to the story of Jesus. Called to be a witness. And every Christian is called to be a witness about the light of the world, Jesus. Not just John the Baptist has this calling on his life. Hey, he was a witness, but now God has given us this same ability, this same power. And I want to prove it to you here in a very popular verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Everybody still good? All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world, or ends of the earth. When you and I become followers of Jesus, he radically changes our hearts. He forgives us of our past. And then he starts to redeem all of that in us, all of that in our past. And he gives us a new heart, a new hope, a new life in Christ. We become a new creation in him. And now you and I have the opportunity to be a witness for him. We are like the moon, right? Like, we don't produce any of the light. John the Baptist, if you were to ask him in scripture, hey, are you the one? Are you the next Messiah? He would almost get offended, like, what? No, not me. I'm just a reflection here to call you to the light. I'm here to call you to the sun, right? And you and I are the same. And sometimes I believe when God may be placing it on our heart to help someone or maybe share our story or interact with somebody about the story of Jesus, there's that spiritual wall that may be stopping us. And sometimes it is, I'm just not good at sharing, or I'm not sure if my story is more powerful enough, or whatever those things may be. But you and I can have comfort in, it's not about us. It's not that I'm pointing people to Jesus. It's His message. It's His truth that's changed my life. And I don't have to carry on and hold this pressure and this weight that I have to have this thing all figured out. I'm just pointing them of going, He can do the same for you. I'm just a witness of how He's changed my life, of how He's interacted in my life, how He's given me faith, how He's comforted me in the craziest time of my life, in the darkest times of my life, and how He's brought people together to help carry me through all of these situations. We see that we are called to be a witness, how God is working in and through us. And as I begin to think about the Christmas story and hearing about John the Baptist and how learning from him, watching him in this Christmas story, I began just to think, because I want to give us some handles. Why would John the Baptist take this prophecy and live his entire life with this bold confession of this coming Messiah, right? In this faith, this bold faith, that why would Dave devote his life to the local church, to discipleship, to investing in others? Why would missionaries go overseas and literally give their life for the gospel? Why would we go to work and share the story and be witnesses of who God is? And I want to give us three things today, and then I'll get ready to close. But the kind of the last part of the message, I want to give us three reasons why. Three reasons why, because every time you and I need to take that faith step, or God may be calling us to do something, I believe we got to go back to this why. Because the why will motivate us. The why will move something in our hearts, move something in our lives. And so the first one is the first reason, the first why, and why even the Christmas story is so powerful in itself, and it's the love of God. The love of God is the root there. And this love is so incredible, so magnificent. The Christmas story is so just in the face of our dark world. It's not that we pursued God, right? It's not that we had it all figured out and then we stepped in and made all this effort. No, while we were still sinners. While Daniel Cazenet was chasing after his own dreams and selfish desires and making mistakes, God said, you know what? I'm going to come. I love you so much that I'm going to bring people into your life. I'm going to highlight scripture. I'm going to put this calling onto your life that you didn't even know was happening generations before you. All right, like, I love you so much that I'm going to start aligning things generations before you even got here. To begin to do something in us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That Jesus sitting in heaven, his heart, his desire, his soul. Because remember, God is love. It's in his essence. He can't operate outside of it. It's who he is. And he sees his creation separated, dying, hurting. And he comes and he sacrifices himself on the cross so that you and I can live in freedom, so you and I can live in hope. And the story is not about us. Now I can come to a dark world of going, look, you can have this too. You can have peace in the middle of COVID too. You can have peace in your darkest time. You can have hope in your darkest time, not because of what we can do, but because of what he can do, because of his love, his grace, his power, his truth in the Christmas time and Christmas season. I believe that God stirs souls during this season. And I think it's because, remember, history changed here in this moment. Thousands and thousands of years later, God is stirring something, and people are more open to this story, right? They're seeing, oh, why is the whole world, why is all of America changing and putting up lights and all of these things? And you and I have an opportunity of going, oh, it's because God loves you. And I really felt something in my heart and in my spirit, because sometimes it's hard for you and I to receive that kind of love. It's hard for you and I to receive an unconditional kind of love. It's almost like the enemy puts so much shame, so much guilt on us that it's hard to receive that sometimes, right? But you and I need to know that our Heavenly Father, He loves you more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. The depths of His love we can't even fathom. And He looks at you. He looks at every single one of us. He looks out there into the world, and His heart is open. His heart is longing to be with His creation. And He knows, and that, I believe that's something you and I have to believe, and we have to receive it, right? The Bible says we have to receive that and accept that kind of love in us and through us. And I believe we can't truly begin to love others until we fully accept that kind of love. It's the love of the Father that drives us. Anytime, I would encourage you, anytime you start to get discouraged, or you're like, I don't even know if I should even do this thing. Like, I'm tired of getting my kids up for church. I'm like, all of these things, right? Like all of these things that begin to build up in our lives and in our hearts, we can go back to the why. It's because Christ first loved us. And He loved us so much that He left heaven and came as a baby. You know how humbling that is to come as a baby when you created babies, right? You created all of this, and now you become a baby in human form and you walk into that. I mean, what kind of love is that? The last 3 minutes, I didn't say anything about Daniel Cazenave, right? It's the love of the Father. We can talk about the love of the Father all day because it's not, it is connected to us and it has changed my life, but yet it's His grace, it's His love, His truth that we can rest on and that we can experience and help others experience as well. And this, so number two is connected to number one, right? And then I'm going to close in the next 2 hours, okay? You guys ready? Just kidding. New Life will kick us out. Anyway, number two, a changed heart wants to change hearts. A changed heart wants to change heart. Once you taste, once you experience, once you see what the love of Christ can do in our hearts and in our lives, you want that for every single person you meet. And I will even say, the closer we get to Jesus, you even want to see that in the people who have betrayed you. You even want to see that in the people who have wronged you, right? Because you're like, if you only knew, He would forgive you. He would mend. He would all of these things. If you only knew, right? You would know the hope of the Father. You would know, as we sang in Christ alone, that even when death knocks on our door, we can rest on the fact that my eternity is secure. That we can walk in this promise. And God changed my heart. And I believe He wants to change yours. We go back to that why of how God has changed my life. And I would kind of challenge us as a church, or if you can hear me online, we're glad you're with us online. Maybe give a little emoji on there. I would challenge our hearts to go back. And maybe if we're wrestling with how has God changed my life, maybe we need to go back and journal out some of those things. And at the very least, if we've given our lives to Christ, we have salvation, right? We all have how our eternity has changed, how we're walking with Him. But I would even argue, if you begin to look and to write down some of those things, you will see how God intervened in your life all throughout that. You'll see how God intervened in the darkest and the times where you were hurting and you didn't know what was next. And all of a sudden, you now have a witness, right? You have a testimony. You have something that God begins to place on your heart that you can share. But a changed heart wants to change hearts, right? We want to help others to experience that, because Jesus says, for God so loved the world, right? He came for this message, this Christmas story. He came for the world, and it's a beautiful picture to see. And then the last one here, and we'll get ready to close. Not like a preacher's close, where we got like four more, but like, anyway. The third one here is, and this is a big one, because I believe the first two is more inward and it gives us purpose. But this third one is, this becomes an incredible picture for you and I, that the Christmas story, the Jesus story, that God loves you so much that part of His plan, His truth is that now your story can be a part of the story. Your story sitting here in this room will affect generations generations to come. I mean, imagine thinking about your kids, and if you're a kid in the room or a student in the room, if you surrender your story to Christ, He will use your story to affect generations to come. I mean, just think about that, that now when I operate, when I share the love of Christ, I'm a part of a larger story that is much bigger than myself. I am enlisted into the heaven's armies, right? And now as I go forth as a witness, as a testimony, every time I bring someone to the kingdom, we get to experience that of how God used us. And when I begin to think about this, we just finished up a series on peace and contentment. And one of the weeks we talked about the prize that we receive in heaven. We talked about the five crowns that God will give to those believers as we walk in Him. But I began to think about those crowns. You know, when we come before God and you receive those crowns, and then we give them back to God in service of Him, I just imagine heaven. We're sitting around and it's like, oh, somebody just joined heaven. They just got their crown. I want to hear that story of how you got that crown. I want to hear your faith story in that. And all of a sudden, we're sitting around in heaven sharing all of these faith stories. And I believe that God, in His rich in His mercy, rich in His goodness, there may be somebody who walks up to you in heaven one day. Because you don't know this. But when you were teaching welding, and you showed me the grace of God, That was a catalyst-changing moment in my life. When you showed me grace in the middle of Walmart, and I saw your bridge shirt, I knew you were a Christian. You know, like all of it. God takes the littlest things, and He connects it to the story. When God places something on your heart, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to bring in a beautiful Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit sandwich, right, to my coworker. Just because I know they're having a rough week, and just I'm going to set it on the desk and say, I'm praying for you if you need anything, right? Like all of a sudden, like we see that, and God will use it. And I honestly, full-heartedly believe that when we live our story out the way that God's called us to, He connects us, He draws us in, He grafts us into the story, right? And that motive, I mean, we will go over to the ends of the earth. We will crawl over broken glass, right? Just so that people can experience that, this momentary sacrifice for eternity change. And how incredible that we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. Generations of coming to know Christ, generations of serving that. And it's not like we carry the weight of making this happen. We just bear witness. Like John the Baptist, the Christmas story is a powerful story that can change your story, but it'll also connect you to the story. And as we take bold steps of faith, maybe your bold step of faith is what we talked about. I need to be baptized. I've never gone forth and made that decision of being doing believer's baptism, and I'm ready to take that bold step of faith. I'm ready to declare that Jesus is the King of my heart. The King has come to my house. The King has come to my heart, and I'm ready to make that declaration to the world, and God will start to do something in you and through you. Maybe a bold step of faith is you just begin to pray, God, open my eyes of how you want me to be a witness this week. And then pray that prayer and then take the pressure off, right? Like take the weight off, because I believe the Holy Spirit will begin to show something. And when it's the time comes, you'll know. The Holy Spirit will impress it on your heart. And my prayer, my hope is that you listen and then you yield to the Holy Spirit going, okay, you're telling me to do that, because we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. We get that nudge that, okay, I believe I should do this. And when we take that bold step of faith, God begins to do something in it, because we don't know how God will use it. We don't know how God will use it in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. And I fully believe that as we operate in this kind of bold faith, God begins to connect people to the story, and that we live in this incredible purpose. We get to be the bridge connecting people all throughout our community, all throughout our lives. And so I just want to continue to pray for us. Ask God to speak. And the worship team is going to come up and sing one last song together. Then we have a couple of songs. But my prayer As you think about these things, maybe you need to go back to the why. I need to go back and to focus and maybe accept and fully dwell on the love of God. And I need to realize that my changed heart, I'm motivated to help someone change someone's heart. And I need to go back and maybe write out some things of how God has changed me in my life, how God has worked in my life, and how He has taken my situation and changed it. And I would even challenge, if you're having trouble of going, honestly, I don't know if I'm saved. And I want you to leave here today having that question in your mind. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to pray with you today. If you're online, there's a link right there that you can click on. All these different things. We can settle that. We can walk in that today. And the third one is your story and be a part of the story as we operate in faith each and every day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for each and every person in this room listening online. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal those steps that you are calling us to take, God. God, I pray that you would give us the boldness to move outside of our comfort zone and to operate in faith in whatever that area is of our life, God. I pray that you begin to stir our hearts, stir our souls for what you're doing, not only in our life, but for the bigger picture, for the story, God. I pray that you use each and every act of obedience for your glory. God, I pray that we rest in that, that the Christmas story gives us hope. The Christmas story changes everything, not only in our life, but for eternity, God. And how amazing, God. We just praise you that we get to be a part of this. We praise you that you call us out of our darkness into your marvelous light. I pray that you continue to work, God. Continue to change us. Continue to make a way. God, and we may stumble and fumble, and we're sorry for that. We're just incredibly, God. We pray that you forgive us. I pray that you give us the strength just to continue. If we got to crawl to you, we will crawl. I pray that you just do a mighty work in us. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.